Hallelujah. Well, the Lord put a message about faith on my heart. Last week, I knew that I was going to be teaching tonight, and so I was just saying, Lord, what do you want me to bring forth? And it just, faith kept coming up in my heart, and it's like, okay, that's what I need. That's what I need, and I think everybody needs to hear about faith, because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's not something that we try to have or struggle to obtain. Faith comes by connecting with God through His Word and being in His presence. When we're in His presence, our faith grows. Hebrews 11:11 is a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the actual substance of the benefits of God's kingdom. Faith is like a mirror that reflects the realities of the unseen world. Through the prayer of faith, we are able to pull the reality of heaven into the earth realm. That's what faith does. Faith pulls the reality of heaven into the earth realm, into where we live. It's the function of faith. In Matthew 6:10, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to pray, thy will be done on earth right here as it is in heaven. And so that, it is God's will for His will to be done here on earth and for heaven to come down and invade the earth realm. And that's done through faith. Faith has its anchor in the unseen realm. It lives from the invisible toward the visible. Faith provides eyes for the heart. When we see from our spirit, that's faith. We see from our heart. To encourage us in our capacity to see from our heart, Jesus gave us specific instruction. In Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. And so seeking God helps us to enlarge our capacity of faith. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above. And so we're to set our affection on the spirit world, on heaven, on God. And as we do, it helps us to bring those realities of heaven down to the earth where we live. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And here it says, but we look at the things which are not seen. How can we look at the things that are not seen? It's only through the eye of the Spirit, through faith, through our spirit man. Our spirit man can see into that invisible realm, and it can see the things that our natural intellect and our natural eyes can't see. And we grow in faith or seen from our spirit when we worship. We don't worship to get faith, but faith is a wonderful byproduct of being in the presence of the Lord and worshiping the Lord. John 4:23, Jesus said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Those who worship in the Spirit and truth learn to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. Psalms 22:3 says, but you are holy, in talking about God, you are holy enthroned in the praises or the worship of your children. And so Enthroned means that that's where God reigns. God reigns where his people are worshiping him. His reign is present when we're worshiping him. That's where his throne is. He's enthroned in our worship and our praise. In the environment of worship, we learn things that go way beyond what the intelligent, our intelligence can grasp. And the greatest thing we learned is the value of his presence and how awesome it is to be in the presence of the Lord. When we live in fellowship to the Lord and we're connected to him, we're connected to divine, like in John 15, being connected to him, the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are naturally are produced in us, grow in us when we are connected with him. Faith isn't something we work up on our own. It's tapping into God's faith. Faith is something that happens in the Spirit and it affects the natural. Faith happens in the Spirit and affects the natural. The invisible realm is superior to the natural realm. Because the invisible is superior to the natural, faith is anchored in the unseen. Faith lives within the revealed will of God, and that's why it's necessary to know the Word of God and the nature of God. For example, when we know God's word and God's heart, we know that it's his will for us to be healed. And knowing that it is his will for us to be healed and everyone to be healed, knowing that that is his will, that gives faith a foundation to work because we know that it is healing is God's will. If we think, and a lot of Christians do, but if we think it is God's will that we're sick, there's no faith there to receive healing. So, because how would we come against the will of God? You know, a lot of people say, well, it's God's will that I'm suffering with this disease, but they go to the doctors and they take medicine and they do everything in the world they can to get well. Why are they going to the doctor and taking medicine if it's God's will that they're sick? You know, it's like we know God's will is healing. And knowing that helps us activate our faith. Unbelief is anchored in what is visible or reasonable apart from God. Unbelief honors the natural realm as superior to the invisible or the spiritual realm. People who believe the material world rules over the spiritual world call themselves realist, but they are trained to believe only what they see. Real faith is not living in denial to the natural realm. For example, if the doctor says you have a tumor, you know, you don't say, well, no, I don't. You don't deny that it's there. So it's silly, pretend it's not there. That's not faith. But faith is founded on a reality that's superior to that tumor. In other words, Jesus bore stripes for my healing. It was paid for 2,000 years ago. That knowledge is superior to what is real in this natural world. Faith is founded on a reality that's superior. We can acknowledge the existence of the tumor and still have faith in the provision of his stripes. Hallelujah. Don't let what the devil is doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Faith is the product of the kingdom of heaven, a superior reality. There are no tumors in heaven, and faith brings that reality into this world. Faith brings the invisible into the visible. It's a reality. Would Satan like to inflict cancer in heaven? Well, he'd like to, but he has no authority there. He can't do it. There's no authority there. He only has dominion here when and where man comes into agreement with it. Faith is born of the Spirit in the hearts of man. Faith is neither intellectual nor anti-intellectual. Faith is superior to the intellect. Faith is a gift and fruit of the Spirit. Romans 10:10, we know that. We use it for salvation all the time. It says, for with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made into salvation. Through faith, man is able to come into agreement with what God says and with God's will. The Holy Spirit lives in my spirit. That's the place of communion with God. As we learn to live in the Spirit, we learn to be Spirit-led. And we know that Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we need to begin to see from our spirit man and put more faith. That's where our faith comes from, is our spirit man. And we need to learn to see in the Spirit. And see into the invisible spiritual realm of God. And it's more real and it's more powerful and higher than the natural realm. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things that were not seen. Because the things that are invisible or not seen are superior and more powerful than what is seen. So as we see this natural world, we are seeing what God pulled out of his word. Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Years ago, I read a book of a man, his testimony, and he said when he was a little boy, he went to visit the ocean where there was a very powerful, the waves would come up real fast. It was on the Thames River in England, and right where it comes in, it just, the tide rises real fast and powerful. And he was there as a little boy, and he thought, this water is so powerful. It's just, he was amazed at the power of the water. And so he went and he got a bucket of that water, and he took it into his motel room, and then he sat there and watched it, and it just didn't do anything. It just sat there, and he was just impressed with how powerful that ocean water was and those tides were. Well, that's the way it, when you separate the spirit of the word from the written word, it's lost its power. The spirit and the aroma of the word needs to be in it, and then it has the power. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes or is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say that it's activated by having heard. It's by hearing. It's the listening heart in the present tense that's ready for heaven's deposit of faith. It's the listening heart. It's the hearing now. It's the active. What are we hearing now? That's the active. That's where faith is in what we're hearing. Hallelujah. I'm skipping over some things, but so I'm kind of dragging here. A command that is used 62 times in the Bible is fear not. Over and over again, the word says, fear not. It's because fear attacks the foundation of our relationship of God, our faith. Fear and faith cannot coexist together. They can't be at the same place. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. So if we have fear coming at us, where is it coming from? It's coming from Satan. It's not coming from God. And he comes to try to destroy our faith because our faith is how we access the benefits of heaven and the benefits that God provided for us. Satan has no power except through our agreement. Fear becomes our heart's response when we come into agreement with his intimidating suggestion. But when we respond to truth, it always wins out over reaction to error. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, but rather live as a response to light. In other words, put your focus on light and live in response to it. And don't be looking at the darkness and just always reacting to the darkness. Just be responsive to the light and keep your attention on the light. Hallelujah. A surrendered heart is a heart of faith, and faith must be present to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we know that we have faith in our spirit because Romans 12:3 says God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so faith is a gift that God put there. But we can cause that faith to grow as we read the word, devour the word, as we spend time in his presence, that faith grows. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. The born-again experiences enables us to see from our heart. Faith was never intended to just get us into the family of God. Faith is intended as a lifestyle in this family of God, an everyday thing that we experience. It's the nature of life in this family. Faith sees. It brings his kingdom into focus. All of the Father's resources, all of the benefits can be had by faith. We access them by faith. Heavens move by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is how we obtain the benefits of heaven. Hallelujah. There's a heavenly bank account that has everything we need, from finances to healing to peace to joy to answered prayers. Everything's there, and we access it by faith. We withdraw what we need from heaven through faith. Hallelujah. And it's there, and it's available for us. Hallelujah. Faith is the meeting ground between our limited self and our limitless God. A point of contact is given as a means of helping us release our faith. It's something tangible, something we do. When we do it, we release our faith toward God. James 2:7 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works or a corresponding action, is dead. And most of the time, our corresponding action is obedience. You know, when God says to do something, you know, we can believe him but not act on it, and our faith is dead. But if we give a corresponding action to that faith, things happen. We're going to look at some examples of that in the Word. Matthew 9, I'm going to read 20 through 22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. For she said to herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. So, for that lady, she believed in Jesus and in his power to heal her, but her point of contact was touching his garment. She says, if I can touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Verse 22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was well from that very hour. And then there's the story of Peter in the water, Simon, Luke 5, 4 through 6. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." We've fished in this very place and we haven't caught anything, could have said. But he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So when he obeyed what Jesus said, that was a corresponding action to the faith. And that brought the miracle that they were needing. Hallelujah. Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the word "save" there in the Greek means deliverance, protection, healing, perseverance, being made whole. It's just like salvation is a whole scope of what we need. And it said, when we believe in our heart, that's the faith, and the corresponding action is when we confess it with our mouth. When we speak it, it brings that faith to life for our salvation, for our healing, for whatever that we're asking for. While we all have a measure of faith, faith can be increased. In Jude, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, our faith grows. When we spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, our faith grows. It's like it charges our battery. It fills us up when it's just like we need to be attached to Him. And it builds our faith up. So everyone has a measure of faith, but we can build our faith up through praying in the Spirit, through being in His presence, through devouring His Word and just being full of His Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of Acts, when Peter was walking down the street, and it said so that Acts 19:12 says, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And so those handkerchiefs were a point of contact where people released their faith. And so it was like that was the faith, but it was like the point of contact or the corresponding action that triggered their faith and set it in motion. Laying on hands is a point of contact. It says they'll lay, Mark, Jesus says they'll lay their hands on the sick and they'll recover. And then in James 5, 14 through 15, it says, "Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the sick. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." And so the prayer of faith is what saved the sick, but the corresponding action or the point of contact was the laying on of hands. And when the hands were laid on him, it's like it triggered it. It brought it. It was like the spark, you know, that brings it together. And so it's important to, there's different ways of points of contact or different ways. Obedience brings our faith into action. We're going to read a passage here in Mark 4, 35 through 41. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And after other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, "You do not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. They forgot that before they even started, Jesus said to them, "Let us go to the other side." That getting to the other side was already in his plan. That was the plan of action. And then they got their eyes off of that plan when they saw the great storm going on into 40. But Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You can have authority over any storm that you can sleep through. There was this great storm billowing and blowing, and Jesus just went to sleep because he knew they were going to the other side. He was at peace. Psalms 23, I think it's verse 5, he says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. A table is a place of nourishment, of peace. When you sit down to eat, you're restful and you're receiving food, and it's just a place of peace and provision. And it happens even in the midst of our enemies. Hallelujah. There's something very mighty about being in God's peace, because when we're not fearful, we're full of faith. And so it's important to be in peace. Ephesians 6, in the armor of God, their feet were shod in peace. How do we overcome the enemy? How do we step on his head? By walking and living in peace. No matter what the storms may be, when we live in that secret place of the Most High, when we live in his peace and abide in his peace and get peace in our hearts, hallelujah, we can stomp all over the enemy. You know, our combat boots are peace. Our feet are shod with peace. Peace is how we win the victory over the enemy. Hallelujah. Romans 16:20 says, "The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Now what? The God of who? Peace. The God of peace is the one that crushes Satan under our feet, that we get the victory over him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6:16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy." Faith is a shield to us. It's our protection. It protects us against the enemy, our faith. Hallelujah. In the days when they had the armor, and the day, biblical days, the shield that they said was the shield of faith, it usually had the army's name or the country's name on the shield, or a symbol that represented that nation. And our faith, when we hold it up, it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's the victorious one, and he's the one that we hold out in front of us. Hallelujah. We're not fighting in our strength. We're fighting in his strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says or speaks a command to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says," and that word "says" is Lego, like repetitive, like Lego blocks, "repetitively says, will be done, and he will have whatever he says or commands." And so here, you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe, and you say. Say is the corresponding action. You know, faith without works, or a corresponding action, is death, dead. When we believe and we speak it, we say it with our mouth, we command it, and we continue to speak it and say it like a building block in our life. It says, it shall be done unto us. Hallelujah. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. There was the story of the Shulamite woman in the days of Elijah, and she had been barren, and Elijah came to her, and he said, the Lord will give you a child. 1 year from now, you'll have a child. She had a son, and when he was 12 years old, I think it said, he died. It said he died, and she shut him in the upper room, and she didn't say a word to anyone. And she went running to find Elijah. And Elijah's servant, Gehazi, met her first, and he said, how goes it with you? And she said, all is well. Her son's laying back at the house, dead. And he says, how's things going with you? And she said, all is well. And then she got to Elijah, and Elijah went with her, and he raised the boy from the dead. But that was amazing that in the face of here he's dead, she says, all is well. That's faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see over and over and over again where people, it's called the Heroes of Faith or the Faith chapter. And over in all of these verses, we see obedience was their point of contact to receiving, obeying God. It says, by faith, Abel offered an offering unto God, and it was well pleasing to the Lord. But he obeyed what God told him to do. God said to do something, he did it, and it was counted to him for faith. And God was pleased with it. Down in verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So God told him he was going to destroy the world, and he told him to build an ark. Now, if he had not obeyed God and built the ark, would he have been saved? No. He believed what God said, and he acted and obeyed on what God told him to do. So that's faith with a corresponding action. He believed God, and he did what he said. Believe and do. Believe and act. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God told him he was going to give him a land and told him to go out. He did not even know where he was going, but he went. He obeyed, he believed God, and he went. And God gave him a great land and a great inheritance and great wealth. Hallelujah. Down into verse 11, it says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hallelujah. And then it says in 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Here, Isaac was the promised son. He was the promise that came to pass that God gave Abraham. And then God said, offer up your son. And Abraham obeyed. And at the last minute, God brought a ram to offer as the sacrifice. But Abraham obeyed what God said to do. With all of his heart, he was willing to obey God, even though it looked like he was going to lose the promise that God had gave him, the promised son. But he passed the test. He obeyed what the Lord told him to do. Verse 20, 21, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. This is really, really important blessing. By faith, they blessed their sons. And I preached about a month ago or so on decreeing and how powerful it is to decree God's word and his blessing over our families and to speak his word over the territory that he's given us. He's given us Douglas. We're to bless it. Speak the blessings of God. And we do it by faith. We don't see it yet, but we speak it. And we bless it, and it's a faith that sets things in motion. It establishes it. Hallelujah. It speaks not only the blessing, but it speaks to the enemy. You can't do what you're doing. You're cut off because the blessings is here, and there can't be a curse and blessing at the same time. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And Satan has no right in my territory of my family, in the territory of my town, in the territory of my church. And what God has given us is a place of influence. Hallelujah. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. You know, in just a minute's amount of faith, the walls didn't just fall down. They obeyed exactly what God told them to do. They step out, they marched, probably hot, probably uncomfortable. They were told to march quietly, not to talk while they were marching. I mean, that's a pretty big command. But they obeyed, and the walls fell down, and God gave them Jericho. Hallelujah. It was miraculous. Hallelujah. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. So when God tells us something, gives us a promise, we have to correspond with our obedience. We have to obey. We have to just do what he says to do. And sometimes it's just speaking the word. You know, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Just confessing, speaking God's word over situations. Hallelujah. That is this corresponding action that brings life and brings things to pass. Hallelujah. The invisible is more real than the visible. Hallelujah. The invisible is more powerful than the visible. The invisible world of the spirit has creative power and force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so faith is learning to see through our spirits instead of through our reasoning and intellect. We see through our spirit, man. Hallelujah. Well, I know I needed this. You know, it's like we need the word. We need the word. It builds us up. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that faith will just bubble and burn and grow in our hearts. We thank you for that we spend time worshiping in you. For where people worship God, that's where he reigns. That's where his rule and his reign is. Father, we are a people that so long to move into the supernatural flow of God's Spirit, into the supernatural flow of healing and signs and wonders and miracles and deliverances and salvations and drawing men to Christ. Ola kashe ribiona na heshe levatone ne ashe, of making disciples, of going out. And making disciples of all men. Ola kayoshe lebi ando ravaliande. Father, we will be a spirit-led people. We will be a people that's led by your spirit. We'll be led by your love. We will have compassion, just as you had compassion and miracles flowed from that heart of compassion. We thank you, Lord, that your heart of compassion is burning within us, that your love is burning within us. We thank Thank you, Lord, that a river of your love will flow out from us. Ola kai o ma she la na mando ba she la ni ande bokali ashe, that we will be a people that sees from our spirit, that we see into the invisible, that we see into the spirit realm, into the kingdom of God, and we bring those realities of the kingdom into this world, that your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven, in this place, in this church, in every life here. We declare your plan and purpose be fulfilled in this place. We declare this building and this place and this property as a place of the habitation of God. We declare that peace will reign in this place, that the love of God will reign and rule in this place, that people will come in and they will find a refuge for their soul, that they will come in and they will be set free from bondages, from unforgiveness, from hate, from bad habits, that people will come into this place and they will find freedom in the Holy Ghost, and that they will be healed, in their spirits will be united with God, and their souls will be healed, and their lohoshe bodies will be healed, that there will be a flowing of river, the river of God flowing in this place, the river of peace, the river of life, the river of healing, healing the body, healing the soul, healing relationships, oh, setting the captive free, that there be freedom in this place. We declare this as a holy habitation of the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for it. Bahalo Shene. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.